I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
Trying to provide increased access and availability of testing.
Rapidly receding, they are among the most sought after items in Ontario, and now they're even harder to find. The supply shortage forcing yet another shift in strategy, while getting your hands on those rapid antigen tests is becoming more challenging than ever. Good evening. We've seen the demand. Maybe you've even stood in a line yourself over the last few weeks, but the rules around who can get one are changing.
The main reason, shipments are way behind schedule, and that isn't the only pandemic pivot for people across the province. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Well, Nathan, once again, the demand is outstripping the supply in Ontario, this time with rapid antigen tests. So the province is narrowing the scope of exactly who will be eligible for these tests when more shipments come in. And members of the general public, they are going to be prioritized last. The prevalence of the Omicron variant in Ontario has driven up the demand for rapid testing, with the province estimating 18 million rapid tests will be needed every single week. But the supply isn't keeping up. The province was promised 54 million tests in January from the federal government and is only scheduled to receive 9 million so far, with no date for the 45 million others.
Right now, given the high community prevalence of COVID-19, testing is a luxury.
So those incoming rapid tests will be reserved for high-risk settings, such as long-term care and retirement homes, hospitals, shelters, congregate care settings, and First Nation communities. The general public will only get rapid tests once the supply increases. And Dr. Kieran Moore says if you're symptomatic, consider yourself positive and isolate for 5 days.
For the vast majority of Ontarians, we'll be able to stay at home to take Tylenol or ibuprofen or fluids to help us get over our symptoms, and we'll be better. The vast majority will be better.
The province is also changing strategies for schools. Beginning tomorrow, education workers will be prioritized for booster shots, while childcare employees will get access to N95 masks. And part of the rapid test supply will be used in the education sector to help staff and students return to the classroom.
They would be used for symptoms. And if it's a positive, as we've said, you should stay home. If it's two negatives 24 hours apart and your symptoms are resolved, you can return to the school setting.
In the meantime, the government is under pressure to address the growing staffing crisis in hospitals. As hospitalizations increase, employees are feeling the strain.
This is like these people are coming out of war. They are, without a doubt, experiencing post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Unions say a number of factors are to blame here. Employees are either sick with COVID, have to isolate due to exposures, or have been leaving the sector in droves due to sheer exhaustion.
These healthcare workers have worked for 24 months with no vacations, on extended shifts, on consecutive weekends, and they are exhausted physically and emotionally. They are vulnerable to falling ill.
Compounding the problem, unions say, is Bill 124, which caps public sector salaries at 1%. That's below the rate of inflation. They are now calling on the Ford government to repeal it. The government points out that workers have been receiving pandemic pay and says under this legislation, public sector employees will still receive salary increases for seniority, performance, or increased qualifications.
Bill 124 is more than about wages. It is a hard cap on every single benefit that would support workers right now.
We have no psychological counseling in our collective agreements, and we can't bargain any for 3 years. That's the effect of Bill 124.
The Ford government has not committed to returning to Queen's Park to strike down the law.
The chief medical officer of health was asked today whether it's still a good idea for hospitals that are facing a staffing crunch to terminate unvaccinated nurses. The chief medical officer of health said that 99% of staff have been complying with the vaccination requirements, and he says those who have been terminated haven't represented a heavy burden to hospitals. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Colin. Looking at the newest COVID-19 figures from across the province and another increase in hospital admissions. Public Health Ontario is reporting 2,279 people with COVID-19 in the province's hospitals. 319 COVID-19 patients are receiving treatment in intensive care units, up from 288 yesterday. Meanwhile, 13,339 more PCR tests have come back positive, but that is an underestimate of the true number of cases because of stricter eligibility criteria and a lack of testing resources. And nearly 100,000 PCR tests remain under investigation as the province deals with a significant backlog.
Comparing some of those figures to 1 week ago, again, there are more than 2,279 people with COVID-19 in Ontario hospitals today. Back on December 30th, that number was 965. In intensive care, there are 319 patients today. 1 week ago, there were 200.
And just ahead, a deeper dive into some of the data, breaking down the numbers between those who are vaccinated and those who are not, and how some experts think Ontario could have been a whole lot better off today had those rates been higher.
As many wait for dose number three, fourth shots are now being administered to more people in long-term care.
An added layer of protection in a sector that's been at the center of so much pain over the last 2 years. CTV's John Musselman is live with more. John.
This is all about enhanced protection for seniors, and it comes as we're seeing a significant jump in outbreaks in long-term care homes.
One of the staff knows.
The initial goal is to administer fourth doses of COVID-19 vaccine to 131 eligible residents at True Davidson Acres on Dawes Road in East York. Five other city-operated long-term care homes will also receive fourth doses this week. City officials say there are more than 1,800 residents in 10 of the city's long-term care homes who meet eligibility for the fourth dose.
This is a special population, one that's made of mainly medically fragile individuals. And, you know, while we want the vaccine to help against severe disease, even something like a mild infection, like a fever, can put a person in long-term care in the hospital.
And the timing is critical. Take a look at these provincial numbers. There are more than 290 outbreaks in long-term care homes. That's up from 254 on Wednesday. Long-term care advocate Vivian Stamatopoulos warned about potential outbreaks in long-term care homes last month. At the time, there were only seven. She credits the City of Toronto for setting the benchmark and trying to help residents, but she says the provincial response has been too slow.
This is the amalgam of failed provincial response and failed proactive response by both the government and the homes that did not step up and do daily rapid testing of everyone entering these facilities and did not provide N95s.
Meanwhile, Toronto Mayor John Tory says the city remains committed to getting as many residents vaccinated as quickly as possible.
These vaccines are safe and they're proving, based on the numbers that we are seeing, to be effective in keeping people healthier and in protecting the overall health of Torontonians.
The city says it has administered 6 million doses since the vaccines became available last year. Tory says city-run clinics will also focus on students and education workers over the next two weekends.
And the mayor went on to say he is doing that because he says it's so important to try to get kids back into the schools. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. Across the province, 87.4% of eligible people aged 5 and older have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and 81.7% are deemed fully vaccinated. In Ontario, that is still officially considered two doses.
Meanwhile, there are warnings tonight about the threat of COVID-19 in some of our province's youngest.
At least two deaths in children who tested positive for the virus. CTV's Austin Delaney is live with more. Austin.
According to provincial data, the number of young people diagnosed with COVID and dying is on the rise. And just this week, an infant here in Toronto diagnosed with COVID died as well.
The medical officer of health in Wellington, Dufferin, Guelph says a girl under the age of 10 who tested positive for COVID-19 died on Monday. In a statement, Dr. Nicola Mercer writes, "No words are sufficient to comfort those grieving this terrible loss. In this tragic moment, I offer my deepest condolences on behalf of everyone at Public Health to the family." And in Toronto, Public Health says a child under the age of 4 has died. "We offer our condolences as we confirm a recent COVID-19 related death of a child in Toronto. We are unable to provide further details regarding this child in order to protect their personal health information under the Provincial Personal Health Information Protection Act and out of respect for the privacy of the individual and their family.
It's absolutely tragic. It is so heartbreaking to hear these stories.
Infectious disease specialist Dr. Isaac Bogosh says it is rare but inevitable as the fast-moving variant spreads.
This is very likely just to be a reflection of how significant and how much community transmission there is when these are very rare events for kids to get that ill. But of course they can happen, and they do happen, and they'll be happening with more frequency if we have this significant burden of community level infection. Awful to hear. I'm so sorry for those families.
Experts say what is going on with kids is the same as all ages.
The numbers of positive people are out of control, and whatever numbers the provinces are reporting are a gross underestimation of what the actual numbers truly are.
Of the 13,339 new COVID positive PCR tested reported in Ontario today, 946 are children under 12 years of age. 1,068 are youth between the ages of 12 and 19. And as of January 4th, 38 children under 4 years of age are hospitalized.
When we see children ending up getting seriously ill and, requiring hospitalization, of course we're concerned. This is not what we would like to see. We want to see our children healthy and thriving.
Toronto's medical officer of health says while those under 5 are not eligible for vaccination just yet, we can do our part.
The best protection that we can offer to those who are most vulnerable in our population, including those who are not yet eligible for vaccine, is for those of us who are eligible to get vaccinated as soon as possible.
And continue measures of self-protection and reduce the spread of the fast-moving variant. And one pediatrician says a lot of the cases with young people coming into hospital, they're coming in with another ailment, say a broken leg, and they find out they have COVID while they're there. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
All right, thank you, Austin. More than 12,000 cases are considered resolved, raising that total to nearly 696,000 over the course of the pandemic. 20 additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 10,272 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Still to come, the diplomatic back and forth that goes way beyond tennis. Novak Djokovic fighting deportation from Australia over the vaccination status of the world's top-ranked men's player. It's a chilly night with the potential for flurries. Michelle Jobin is here with a look at the current conditions. It's a night to bundle up, Michelle.
Absolutely, Michelle. And what we're looking at is back to seasonal territory today after being relatively warm yesterday. And we also have snow squalls through much of the region. They've been quite persistent from Lake Huron and to a certain extent also from Lake Erie, extending through Lake Ontario as well. And that's relevant to the GTA because we've been seeing flurry activity from those squalls. We do have some warnings in place for Niagara and also the Huron-Perth County area and a broader area for Waterloo County as well. So temperatures right now like this, already -8 in Waterloo, -4 in Ajax, -5. If you are in Lindsay here in the city of Toronto, -4, feeling like -11 at the islands, -5 at the airport, going down to a low of -8, feeling like -15. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Michelle. A driver charged in a Brampton crash that killed 3 people in 2018 has been found guilty on multiple charges. The Crown said Paul Manzon was driving his Corvette at speeds of up to 164 kilometers an hour on Highway 50 when he was involved in a multi-vehicle crash. 47-year-old Allison Jones, her 7-year-old son Miles, and his 12-year-old friend Julia Ricobene were killed. Several others were injured. Manzon had pleaded not guilty, but he's now convicted on 3 counts of dangerous driving causing death and 2 counts of dangerous driving causing bodily harm.
Police in York Region have charged a Newmarket man in his mother's death. Yesterday evening, around 5, officers were called to a domestic dispute at a home near Horam Street and Leslie Avenue. A 61-year-old woman was found with life-threatening injuries and later pronounced dead in hospital. Today, investigators announced charges against her 25-year-old son. He faces 1 count each of second-degree murder and arson causing damage to property.
Here in Toronto, police are sharing images of a suspect in a pair of assaults on the TTC. Tuesday night, there was an emergency call to Greenwood subway station. Investigators say a man approached a passenger and sprayed them in the face with an unknown substance. A similar incident was reported later on the bus platform at Finch Station.
Returning to the pandemic and taking stock of where we stand and how some say it could have been different.
The strain on the healthcare system and the possible links to vaccination rates. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
The Omicron onslaught has Ontario's hospitals seriously stretched. But what if everyone had at least two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine?
The healthcare system would not be overwhelmed or at the brink of being overwhelmed if we had a fully vaccinated population.
Dr. Peter Uni, chair of the Ontario COVID-19 Science Advisory Table, is sharing data on different scenarios. Today, there's 123 unvaccinated people in the ICU with the virus, 28 partially vaccinated and 87 fully vaccinated, a total of 238. Uni says if everyone was vaccinated, that number would shift below 150.
That's how different this is. If you had at least two doses, better three, to protect really well against serious outcomes after COVID infection. That's the great news here.
Uni says an average of 1.5 nurses are needed per ICU patient. If Ontario only had 150 people with COVID in the ICU, he says Ontario would require about 280 fewer nurses per day and free up 180 ICU beds, with similar calculations applied to wards.
Oh, this would be tremendously helpful.
But if Ontarians were all unvaccinated, instead of 238 ICU patients, there would be 2,000, a situation in hospitals, he says, you can't imagine.
Our system would have decompensated and fallen apart already a few weeks ago. This is otherworldly.
Uni says 1.5 million Ontarians remain unvaccinated, and with the current level, it's very difficult to tell what the peak in ICUs will be, as case counts are not reliable and testing is overwhelmed. Uni says even if everyone received two doses, some restrictions would still be needed before that peak. But he says there would be about 1,200 people in hospital with COVID now, instead of close to 1,700.
Can we reduce the risk to zero through vaccination? No, of course not. But we can reduce it to a relevant amount that protects the individual and protects our healthcare system.
Uni says based on what is known, it's more the vulnerable people who are vaccinated and the unvaccinated in the ICU. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
And here's another figure to keep in mind. These charts show hospitals and ICU admissions per 1 million inhabitants, broken down between those who are vaccinated and those who are not.
A new mass vaccination center opened in Newmarket this morning. The clinic is now operating at Newmarket Community Center. More than 14,000 new booking slots opened up yesterday for appointments today at all York Region clinics, including the new one. Right now, York is offering those 50 and older booster shots, and anyone 5 and up can get a first or second dose. Officials say now is the ideal time for children age 5 to 11 to get vaccinated, if they haven't yet, before in-person learning resumes.
The Toronto District School Board has passed a motion calling for changes to the province's plan to resume in-person learning later this month. The motion says certain steps are needed for the return to the classroom to happen safely. Some of those actions are already underway, like N95 masks and prioritized vaccines for education workers. But the TDSB says students should also have access to those resources. The board also repeated its request to add COVID vaccines to the list of mandatory shots for pupils. While the province has stopped reporting school cases, the motion calls for principals to keep doing so with notifications to families and staff. And a reminder, our online team is staying on top of every angle of Ontario's pandemic response. You can follow their continuing coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
It's been a day of somber remembrance and reflection in the United States.
5 people died when pro-Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building 1 year ago. CTV's Joy Malvin reports.
It's difficult to forget that day. Armed mobs attacking police, horrifying violence. Trump supporters rampaging through the Capitol, hunting for lawmakers, calling for the hanging of Vice President Mike Pence, trying to stop the certification of Joe Biden as president, who in a scathing speech tore into Trump.
For the first time in our history, a president had not just lost an election, he tried to prevent the peaceful transfer of power.
Never using his name, Biden blamed Trump directly for the Capitol attack and spreading a web of lies that has infected America.
You can't love your country only when you win. You can't obey the law only when it's convenient. I will defend this nation, and I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy.
In a country Biden has struggled to unite, most Republicans remain loyal to Trump. He released a statement repeating false claims of voter fraud, even though the courts have rejected that over and over again.
Now I ask all members to rise for a moment of silence in their memory.
In Congress, lawmakers forced to hide from the violent mob a year ago remembered the officers and the lives lost, sharing stories and recalling the horror of that day.
Had someone had a gun, had two of them blocked off the door, who knows what would have happened. I was told later that one of them reportedly said, "There's the big Jew, let's get him."
Healing America's divide won't be easy, but Biden says facing the truth of that terrible day is one way the nation can move on. Joy Malvin, CTV News, Washington.
The Biden administration is watching this closely. Russia is now involved as more violence erupted in the streets of Kazakhstan's capital today. Police in Almaty say they killed dozens of rioters. At least 18 members of the security forces also died during a night of street clashes. Russia sent a number of paratroopers to help put down the countrywide uprising in one of its closest former Soviet allies. It began as protests against the New Year's Day fuel price hike.
Iran has once again demonstrated no interest in compensating those who lost loved ones in the downing of an airliner 2 years ago. And that has elicited this response from Canada and other countries affected by the attack. Despite our best efforts over the past 2 years and multiple attempts to resolve this matter through negotiations, the coordination group has determined that further attempts to negotiate with Iran are futile. Iran ignored yesterday's deadline to negotiate a settlement. Now, Britain, Sweden, Ukraine, and Canada say they will pursue other avenues in international law to get compensation for the families. All 176 people on board were killed when two missiles brought down the Ukraine International Airlines jet near Tehran. That included 55 Canadian citizens and 30 permanent residents.
Transport Canada is confirming it's investigating a December 30th flight to Mexico during which passengers partied without masks. Videos have emerged showing many on board the Sunwing charter flight drinking, vaping, and dancing. The plane was carrying social media influencers and reality show personalities from Montreal to Cancun. Some of the passengers remained stranded there after Sunwing, Air Canada, and Air Transat said they will not fly the group home. But nearly a dozen of them have managed to arrive back in Quebec on an Air Canada flight. The federal government says passengers on the flight to Mexico could face fines of up to $5,000 per offense.
As COVID-19 impacts airline crews and travel plans, Air Canada has announced it's suspending flights to a number of sun destinations. A message posted on the carrier's website says the routes impacted include 14 airports throughout the Caribbean and West Indies. Air Canada will stop flying passengers to those destinations from January 24th through to April 30th. The airline says it will operate a number of one-way flights back to Canada so people aren't left stranded, and anyone whose flight is canceled will be refunded.
Air Transat is also scaling back its schedule. The airline is canceling nearly 30% of scheduled flights over the next 2 months. Company officials blame the ongoing impact of the Omicron variant and federal travel restrictions. Transat didn't specify which routes are affected. Today's moves come after WestJet cut 15% of its scheduled flights through the end of January, with high numbers of flight crews calling in sick.
from the tennis court to a court of law.
Novak Djokovic remains in limbo as he fights deportation from Australia over his COVID-19 vaccination status. CTV's Zoraida Allman is live in studio with the latest. Zoraida.
Nathan and Michelle, Australia has seen some of the strictest lockdowns during this pandemic. Novak Djokovic's medical exemption from the vaccination policy prompting widespread outrage. His exemption now rejected. Border officials want him out. The world's number one men's tennis player is being forced by the Australian government to play by the COVID-19 rules.
The ABF can confirm that Mr. Djokovic failed to provide appropriate evidence to meet the entry requirements to Australia, and visa has been subsequently cancelled.
With the Australian Open a week and a half away, Novak Djokovic sits in an immigration detention hotel, waiting on a court to decide if he can remain on the island continent and defend his championship title.
If they don't comply with the rules, then the Australian Border Force will do their job, and they have done their job.
Stopped at the border in Melbourne, officials rejected the medical exemption he obtained from Victoria's state authorities. An outspoken critic of vaccine mandates, Djokovic has never publicly disclosed his COVID-19 vaccination status. Speaking from Belgrade, his family expressing outrage at the detention.
A Serbian Novak.
By humiliating Novak, they are humiliating Serbia and the Serb people, his father says.
How can I feel? I feel terrible since yesterday, last 24 hours, that they are keeping him as a prisoner. It's just not fair. It's not human.
Longtime rival Rafael Nadal says while he feels badly for Djokovic, he says he was well aware of the rules.
For me, clear thing is if you are vaccinated, you can play in the Australian Open and everywhere. And the world, in my opinion, have been suffering enough to not follow the rules.
The court hearing on whether Djokovic will be allowed to stay and play is set for Monday. And Serbia's president says he spoke to Novak Djokovic this morning. Efforts are now underway to have him move to a rented home while he awaits a decision. I'm Zoraida Allman. Michelle, back to you. Thank you, Zoraida. Christians around the world celebrated Epiphany today. In Greece, a priest threw a wooden cross into the water where swimmers rushed to retrieve it. The blessing of the water ceremony marks the baptism of Christ. The participants believe the person who retrieves that cross will be freed from evil spirits and will be healthy throughout the year. The traditional event was also held in other countries, including Turkey, Bulgaria, and Cyprus. Epiphany marks the end of the 12 days of Christmas, but not all Orthodox Christian churches celebrate it on the same day.
Preparations are ramping up for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee this year. It includes some special offerings from the Royal Mint.
We have been proud to celebrate many years of royal celebrations here at the Royal Mint, but this year it is particularly a time to celebrate because the Queen reaches 70 years on the throne and our annual set is primed for that celebration.
The Mint has unveiled more commemorative coins in honor of the 95-year-old monarch. The 50 pence and 5-pound coins feature a new portrait of Her Majesty on a horse. They're in addition to a set that was revealed last month. It sells for about $40 on the Royal Mint website.
As infant COVID hospitalizations spark concerns, there's a renewed push for pregnant people to get the shot. Still ahead, the expert advice on vaccination while pregnant.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, it was another record year for real estate in the GTA. Sales hit an all-time high, and so did the average selling price of a home at almost $1.1 million. Will prices continue to rise in 2022? I'll have my report just ahead.
Minus 6 right now in the city of Toronto, feeling like minus 12 with the wind chill. We'll have some flurries possible over the next little while thanks to those snow squalls that are to the north and to the west of us. What we're looking at through the overnight is temperatures dipping to around minus 6 early, or minus 8 early in the morning, feeling like minus 15 with the wind chill. Tomorrow a high of just minus 5 with gusty winds. I'll let you know about your 7-day forecast coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Despite the pandemic, there seems to be no slowing down in the GTA's real estate market, with more records being broken in 2021.
The demand for property was high, and due to a shortage of new listings, it made for a highly competitive market, driving up prices. Pat Foran has more on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Michelle and Nathan, home ownership may seem like a dream for some as prices continue to climb in the GTA. The average selling price of a home is now almost $1.1 million. Without new listings coming to market, prices are expected to keep rising this year. Toronto's real estate market and the surrounding GTA continue to shake off the pandemic with another all-time high in real estate transactions. There was a new record of more than 121,000 sales in the GTA. That's an increase of 28% over the year before. There was a huge demand for homes, interest rates remain low, and there were more buyers than sellers, leading to a shortage of listings.
We haven't seen much in the way of new housing supply coming online. And so the end result was very strong competition between buyers and strong upward pressure on home prices.
Home prices in the GTA also hit an all-time high, with the average selling price just shy of $1.1 million. That's an increase over the year before of almost 18%. It's not just here in the GTA. Across the province, there is more demand than supply, leading to price increases.
Well, there's still way more buyers than there is than there are sellers, so it's still going to be a little bit challenging for the buyers.
Figures show there was a resurgence in sales activity within the city of Toronto compared to the suburbs. There was also a rebound in the demand for condominiums. The latest wave of shutdowns due to the pandemic is also not likely to help with the housing supply.
All of this, again, is likely going to just double up on that buyer gridlock that we've been seeing play out, and it does not bode well for supply moving forward.
Officials say there is a lack of inventory across all home types and that new housing construction is needed to bring on more units. There is a concern that governments at all levels may need to do more to create more housing to moderate price growth.
As the population continues to grow, as we start to see immigration pick up, we're going to need to have homes for people to live in.
And some analysts have predicted the Bank of Canada will begin raising interest rates this spring, which could also affect the housing market. However, new lockdowns due to the pandemic may also have an impact on that decision. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, if you're heading outside tonight, like maybe the skaters, bundle up.
Mm-hmm. The weekend also, it's coming really fast, Michelle, but I feel like any hope for a warm-up is still a few days away.
You're right. It's actually a few days away. We're looking at Sunday as being the warmest day probably of the next four or five at least, and we are trending colder today and even more so as we get overnight and into tomorrow. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. So we are definitely in cooler territory than we were last night. Right now we're sitting at -6 in the city of Toronto and we're feeling around -12 with the wind chill. Winds are actually easing up earlier in the evening and then they'll get going again as we get into tomorrow. One thing we have been dealing with on and off throughout the day in the GTA is varying amounts of flurries affecting visibility on the road, and that's from snow squalls that other regions are experiencing more intensely than the GTA, and we'll look at that coming up because there's still some warnings in effect. An overnight low of -8 tonight, feeling like -15 with the wind chill. That'll come earlier in the morning. Winds getting up to around northwest 20 kilometers an hour. They will again be gustier tomorrow. So if you're going out overnight or early in the morning, prepare yourself for a significant wind chill. So here's the snow squall watches and warnings that are in place, as well as the winter weather travel advisory that is broader due to the fact that as we get through the overnight and into tomorrow, we get these bursts of snow. Heavy snowfall has already been falling. We've actually just switched over to a watch here off of Huron in Perth County. But heavy snow has been falling up to 20 centimeters in this region off Lake Huron and up to 20 centimeters in southern Niagara region as well. And as winds shift, that ignites things in other areas. So this is how things look at the moment. This squall extending right on over to the GTA. It's lightened up a little bit but could get going yet again in Niagara. You're still dealing with this as we get through the overnight. It lightens up as I show you on the forecast radar in just a moment as we get into tomorrow. World.
But high pressure to the north of us. We've got this stationary boundary in place. Winds are going to increase tomorrow, giving us a bit more of a bite to the air, even more so than today, with a high of just -5, which is trending a bit below seasonal. We'll feel like -12 in the afternoon. And expect flurries throughout the area, and again, overnight and into tomorrow. So stopping early in the morning, we're still dealing with this a little bit further to the north of the Niagara region, extending maybe over towards St. Catharines, perhaps. And then Barrie, you're seeing some squalls as well along Lake Huron, and we'll have those flurries reaching down, especially to northern portions of the GTA. We get a little bit more clearing, though, on the way for Saturday. And then another system arrives for Sunday that warms us up, but gives us a bit of a messy mix. So -5 tomorrow, then -13 Friday night into Saturday, a high of just -3. Then holding steady overnight, 2 degrees as our high for Sunday, and then dropping down to a very cold high of -8, low of -14 for Monday. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, proof dogs understand much more than you may think. What new research reveals about our four-legged friends and their grasp of language.
Medical experts continue to reassure those who are pregnant that the COVID vaccine is safe for their babies.
And in fact, they point out that other vaccines work on the same principle. CTV's Pauline Chan reports.
Before mid-December, it was rare for a baby to be hospitalized with COVID-19, but since then, at least 38 children under age 5 have been hospitalized in Ontario, with one child dying of the illness. In particular, 6 infants were brought to CHEO and McMaster Children's.
Well, all of them are under 12 months, but most of them are actually under 6 months.
All those treated at CHEO were born to those who are unvaccinated. Epidemiologist DeShane Fell says there's no evidence yet that Omicron is affecting babies differently.
It's just a reflection of the fact that many, many more people are getting infected right now, that this particular variant is very transmissible.
And she says that's why vaccination of those who are pregnant is so important.
Vaccination during pregnancy is a strategy that we do use with other types of infectious disease like influenza and whooping cough or pertussis, because we know that not only does it protect the mothers, but it also, the antibodies from that the mother's body produces are also transferred to the baby.
It's believed those antibodies will offer some level of protection for at least 4 months while the baby's own immune system develops. And Fell says it's also important for other members of the household to get their shots as well. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is officially a new dad. Singh shared a photo of himself, his wife, Gurkiran Kaur, and their newborn daughter on social media today. He said the family welcomed its newest addition on January 3rd, which is one day after his own birthday. And he said, "Our powerful little baby girl is basically my birthday present for life." Singh said mom and baby are both healthy. The family received messages of congratulations from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Conservative leader Aaron O'Toole.
The latest Spider-Man movie may have set pandemic records at the box office, but new U.S. figures show people are still wary about going to the movie theater.
I've only had 1 week where my life has felt normal.
While millions overcame COVID concerns to see Spider-Man No Way Home, research firm Morning Consult found only 47% of Americans were willing to return to movie theaters when asked late last year. Still, those rates were much higher, around 60% in key demographics for Spider-Man, like millennials and Gen Z.
Oscar-nominated director Peter Bogdanovich has died at the age of 82. He's best known for directing the 1970s black-and-white classics The Last Picture Show and Paper Moon. The director's turbulent personal life was also often in the spotlight. His relationships with actress Sybil Shepherd and Canadian Playboy model Dorothy Stratton often made headlines. Bogdanovich's daughter says he died of natural causes at home this morning in L.A.
The Sundance Film Festival is joining the list of events making major changes because of rising case counts. Organizers announced that Sundance will be entirely virtual this year, despite plans for a hybrid setup with in-person events in Park City, Utah. A statement said the Omicron variant is pushing the limits of health, safety, travel, and other infrastructures across the U.S. It added that organizers felt it would be irresponsible to hold an in-person event right now, even with COVID safety measures in place.
One of Netflix's recent releases has garnered more views in a week than any other movie in the streaming service's history.
This comet is what we call a planet killer.
At this exact moment, I say we sit tight and assess.
Climate change satire Don't Look Up was watched for more than 152 million hours between December 27th and January 2nd. It could soon set a similar record for most views in a month since its release on Netflix. Director Adam McKay tweeted that he's flabbergasted by the massive viewing numbers.
A new report is outlining which artists will be headlining the Coachella Music Festival this year.
I hate the way she looks at me.
Variety reports Billie Eilish will receive top billing on the Saturday night shows, while Kanye West will be the headliner for the two Sunday shows. Coachella is scheduled to take place across two weekends in April, but with several other festivals and shows rescheduling because of COVID-19, fans are bracing for the timing to potentially change.
Adele is sharing a sneak peek at her next music video. The Grammy winner shared a short teaser for the song, for the video for her song, Oh My God, with a release set for next week. Adele said today she's feeling rested and reset and ready for 2022. The singer added there's, quote, so much coming, and she's excited to share it with the world.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
If you have symptoms compatible with COVID-19, please, you don't necessarily need a test to confirm them.
Updating our top stories, the province says it will stop offering rapid antigen tests to the general public as it reserves supply for higher risk settings. Meanwhile, education workers will be prioritized for booster shots starting tomorrow.
This is not what we would like to see. We want to see our children healthy and thriving.
Toronto Public Health is reporting a COVID-related death of a child under the age of four. The Wellington Dufferin Guelph Health Unit says a girl under 10 who tested positive died on Monday. As more children are hospitalized with COVID, health experts say those too young to be vaccinated are better protected when those around them get their shots.
Even something like a mild infection, like a fever, can put a person in long-term care in the hospital.
And the city of Toronto has begun administering fourth doses of COVID-19 vaccine at its long-term care homes. 291 homes across the province are reporting COVID outbreaks. Critics say more should have been done to keep the virus from entering those facilities in the first place.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, potential homebuyers are facing a challenging mark to start the new year. Greg Bunnell from BNN Bloomberg has more.
Country's largest real estate market has entered the year with a scant supply of homes for sale. While the Greater Toronto Area set a new sales record in 2021, activity slowed into the final month of the year. And for a region with a population of more than 6 million people, there were just 3,200 homes listed for sale as 2021 came to a close. Now, the industry has been beating the drum on supply issues during the pandemic. That is, the desire for more space and those low borrowing costs sparked a frenzy of real estate activity. And reports from across the country are pointing to a tight market to start the year. A new survey suggests Canadians are more worried about soaring inflation than the prospect of higher borrowing costs. The poll by Nanos Research Group for Bloomberg News found almost 9 in 10 Canadians put those soaring consumer prices ahead of higher interest rates on their list of concerns. Now, the Bank of Canada has indicated it's ready to hike borrowing costs this year. That is, inflation far outstrips the bank's target of 2%. Stelco is among the worst performing names on the TSX Composite Index today. That is, the steelmaker warns it's facing disruptions because of the surge in COVID cases. Stelco says labor shortages due to COVID are hitting production, logistics, and customer demand. Analysts at National Bank say softer pricing and weaker demand will challenge Stelco this year. Will the stock close the day down 10%? The Canadian dollar was up 21 basis points to 78.56 U.S. American benchmark oil gained $1.61 a barrel to close at 79.46. Alberta's heavy crude Western Canadian Select was up $1.86 to settle at 67.05 U.S. And the TSX Composite Index gained a modest 32 points, closing at 21,072, as financials and energy stocks led the way higher. That's the latest from BNM Bloomberg. I'm Greg Bunnell.
Just ahead, blast off. SpaceX launches its first rocket of 2022. How it went and what the company sent into orbit. The head of Instagram is sharing new details on some planned changes to how posts are displayed on the photo and video sharing platform.
To me, that people feel good about the time that they spend in the app. And I think giving people ways to shape Instagram into what's best for them is one of the best ways to pursue that goal.
Adam Mosseri says there will be three different timeline formats users can choose, including the current setup, a favorites feed tracking a small number of accounts, and a chronological list of posts from people you follow. Instagram says the options will roll out over the first half of the year.
In Florida, SpaceX carried out its first launch of 2022.
3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
A Falcon 9 rocket blasted around 2 hours ago from Pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center. It's carrying 49 Starlink satellites to low Earth orbit. They were scheduled to be released about 15 minutes after liftoff. Starlink is a broadband internet service SpaceX says will provide coverage around the globe.
There's no question dogs are smart, but here's one of their special talents you might not have heard about. New research out of Hungary shows canines can distinguish languages. Researchers played excerpts from the story The Little Prince in Hungarian and Spanish. They then examined how the animals' brains reacted. When comparing responses, they found distinct activity patterns in the dog's primary auditory cortex of the brain and their secondary auditory cortex, which analyzes complex sounds. It's the first time the discovery has been made in a non-human brain.
All right, if you're heading out tonight with the dog, you might both need to wear coats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good idea. We're looking at a low of -8, feeling like -15, and wind will be lighter, but then reigniting as we get into tomorrow morning. A note that snow squalls will be an issue yet again in many areas adjacent to the upper Great Lakes and will impact travel as we get into the day. Overnight tonight, Niagara region will continue to deal with squalls. So what we're looking at is some light flurries through the area right now. Be aware of that through the Toronto area, and then for tomorrow, a high of just -5, -3 on Saturday with sunshine, a rain-snow mix on Sunday, and 2 degrees and much cooler to start the week next week. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zerida Altman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, you can watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.